Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi. It's been a year full of big deals, business acquisitions, and potential partnerships, some that have even led to the potential delisting of some major businesses. Think Canal Plus and MultiChoice, Barlow World, and of course the NewCo, the consortium that's looking to buy them out. That's in and among many other transactions and deals we've discussed this year. But one particular deal that has caught headlines and perhaps reached multiple levels of discontentment, especially for external parties, is one that could shake up the furniture industry in South Africa. Next time you walk into a Russell's, Bradlow's, Rochester or Hi-Fi Corp, know that they're owned by JD Group. That's a company that came out of Pepco, or essentially is under Pepco and came out of Steinhoff, part of the business that essentially survived in terms of its success, adequate financial management and operations. ShopRite, on the other hand, has House and Home and OK Furniture. And this is where we see a potential partnership taking place where Pepco wants to buy the operations of ShopRite Furniture. Lewis Furniture Stores, as a competitor in the market, has raised several red flags about this particular transaction, brought their arguments to the Competition Commission, and the Competition Commission has said, you have no grounds. We're going to try to make context of this particular deal, the transaction, but also whether or not it does actually hamper competition in the South African environment by speaking to a competition law expert and managing director at Maseko Maphanga Attorneys. Maphanga Maseko joins us now to tell us more. Such a pleasure to have you with us, and welcome to the show, Mr. Maseko.
Thank you, Sis Gugu.
I'm excited to speak to you about this one because it sounds like a case study that would be used in business schools, no doubt. But maybe to set the context, I'm hoping I've managed to cover the size of these particular organizations accurately, just for us to get a better grasp of the kind of hold and, I guess, market share that they essentially have within the South African furniture retail space. But I'm open for you to give us more context around the size and scale of the proposed deal between JD Group and ShopRite Furnitures.
Yeah, this transaction will as I understand it, constitute a 3-2 transaction. In other words, there will be basically reduced competition, if we can put it that way.
Uh-huh.
So the retail market, there will be Lewis, there will be ShopRite, and a couple of other traders. This will be the biggest market. This will be biggest market player in the furniture retail sector. What is relevant here for our purposes in terms of business is, first of all, we need to know who's in the zoo. So the Competition Commission does the investigation. When it receives a merger from the parties, it does the investigation. It then consults with third parties, suppliers, competitors, and trade unions on the merger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the commission says to them, do you have a problem with this merger? If you do, give us your response in writing. And sometimes they can even have meetings with them. Then what happens was, once the commission then approves the decision, which is the case here, once they approve the decision, the commission, that's their end of the matter. If you or any other third party have a problem, you must then come to the competition tribunal to bring an intervention application.
Mr. Masak, if I understand you correctly, then it basically means that the Competition Commission just evaluates any stakeholders who might be disgruntled or believe that this doesn't necessarily bode well for competition. Does the Competition Commission conduct its own investigations at all to evaluate the system and the structure of the industry?
Yeah, so what the Commission does, once you file a merger, the Commission will appoint an investigator. If it's a complex merger like this one, maybe they will appoint one or two investigators. They will then send RFIs to all the parties that will be implicated by the merger.
RFIs
from your unions and everyone.
RFIs, for those of us who aren't aware, what are RFIs?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Request for information for clarity. Do you have a problem with the merger? Do you not have a problem with the merger? Then after having done the investigation, they submit a report to the commission, to the competition tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is the tribunal then that decides whether or not the decision by the commission stands or whether or not it can be tampered with. In other words, it can be amended to factor in the other submissions that are received. Now, like I said, if you're going to intervene, you need to prove to the tribunal, not only that you have a material interest, but you also need to prove that you are in a unique position to be able to assist them to get to a just conclusion, i.e. the information you submit must be that which maybe the commission has missed. The reason why this judgment is significant for people in business is this. This judgment clearly sets out that, look, in mergers, and you and I will have seen this in Vodacom versus Maziv.
Yes.
You would have seen this in when Tsohosan won, no, I think it was Piermont. There was a merger with involving Piermont that didn't go through. The judgment says, look, you need to factor into account that mergers, by their very nature, are agent, they're expeditious. If you are going, as the tribunal made a mistake here, to give a party wide powers to intervene, major regulation basically will be privatized. In other words, you or any other party can now say, no, the Competition Commission, with its own investigators and economists, they missed the point here. I know better. Therefore, please give me an audience. If you go on that basis, then measures will stall and stall, and you and I will go to conferences and you will be told that it's taking too much time to get measures approved.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a measure, there's something we call a long stop date. That is the date that the transaction must close, when money must change hands, people must move over to the new firm. If you give a party an indulgence to intervene, like that this was granted in this case, you are likely to have this matter maybe being decided next year, October. In that time, you have to pay loans to the funders. You have to notify the JSE.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay lawyers to amend agreement to move the long stop date. So in summary, this is a significant judgment because while it does not really create a new precedent per se, it affirms the principle that mergers are agent. They must be determined within a short space of time. Because as we know, we want to encourage investment. We don't want a party to be tied up in litigation instead of focusing on their core business.
Got you. And I guess there's no challenge regarding that. As you say, it's a very expeditious process and you want to make sure that it is concluded quite timeously. But perhaps going back to the issue of competition, because that's also something that I believe does need to be reviewed. As you mentioned, this is a potential merger of two juggernauts, not only in South Africa, but in sub-Saharan Africa, if we look at the exposure that not only Pepco Furniture has, but also ShopRite Furniture has in parts of Southern Africa. What are the arguments that Lewis brought forward when it came to this deal being anti-competitive and this essentially being found to be flawed?
Yeah. Thank you very much for that. You know what they do? So when you intervene, you must set out your case in your affidavit. They say in the affidavit, you know, we've got a material interest in this matter. We are uniquely positioned to be able to put information before you that will assist you because this matter will lead to a substantial lessening of competition. But where Lewis failed at the first hurdle is that they didn't meet the test. They didn't set out how they will assist because apparently it emerges from the judgment that some of the information that Lewis was using in support of this intervention
mm-hmm.
was information that you and I can find online. You can just go to Google and you say four biggest furniture retailers in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
If you go to Copilot and these other chat GPTs, you'll probably find something. So it's not enough just to say, look, I'm concerned that there's going to be less competition in the market. These guys are going to buy up all the furniture from the wholesalers. You need to set it up clearly. What harm are you going to suffer? And has the commission dealt with it or not? If the commission has dealt with it, that's the end of it. So the arguments made by Lewis, though not dealt with in detail in the judgment, in terms of market size, market structure, import parity, proliferation of cheap imports, maybe from the likes of China, while it's not dealt with in the judgment,
mm-hmm.
it will have maybe been dealt with in the hearing, but by then it's too late.
Mm.
So they failed to meet the test even at the start. So that's why the matter was dismissed. So that should be the end of it, unless they appeal to the Constitutional Court, of course.
Got you. Well, is that a process that will be followed? Have we heard any feedback from Lewis or any of the other?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't yet. So the ruling, I think, was out. This ruling was out on the 9th. But if they go to the Constitutional Court, not to preempt what is going to happen, I think they will struggle because the Constitutional Court recently in a medical negligence matter said the fact that the issue concerns the interest of the parties
mm-hmm.
does not make it a constitutional issue. I fail to see, on my limited knowledge of the facts of this matter, how they can take this to the Constitutional Court. It should, all things equal, be the end of it. But, you know, this is South Africa. You'll never know, you know.
You're right. You will never know in South Africa. But thank you for educating us and also teaching us a new theme and terminology. Stalingrad, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it correctly. In other words, the delaying tactics to mergers and acquisitions. Ah,
okay. Yes, I can tell you right now, that paragraph that refers to Stalingrad, I think it's paragraph, can't remember now, whether or not it's 28, mm-hmm. is going to be referred to in other measures where we say, but these people are using the Stalingrad tactic. Please don't give them the right to intervene. They are going to delay us. There's no time. Please get the transaction through.
Got you. Ah, this is so interesting. There are many other examples we can draw comparisons to here as well, but we'll leave that because this is a business show. Mr. Maseko, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Nice show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Maphanga Maseko, competition law expert and managing director at Maseko Maphanga Attorneys. As you've heard, so essentially JD Group under Pepco Holdings and Pepco Furniture, Russell's, Bradlow's, Hi-Fi Corp Rochester, just to name a few, their potential pursuit, a 3.2 billion rand deal as they look to buy out furniture from furniture stores from ShopRite Furnitures. That's House and Home and OK Furnitures. It's a big deal. 3.2 billion. And from what we understand, the Competition Commission telling Lewis that it has no grounds with regard to the delays that it is setting in terms of this particular acquisition and proposed deal to the point where they list it as a Stalingrad legal tactic. In other words, just adding delays to what is an important merger and acquisition without any clear grounds in terms of what your contestation is about. We learn every day.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.